Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we now commend the remainder of thy time, our time here in thy house, to thee now. We pray that thou would be gracious to us and visit us here. Visit, Lord, this place, Lord, with thy salvation, we pray. Enter trembling hearts and tremble on account of sin and the law, and the very real threat of judgment and of hell. May they come to tremble, Lord, with fear and joy at the knowledge of their sins being remitted from them through faith in Christ. And to take, Lord, for us all, Lord, we pray now this morning, grant all grace to us. Be with us, Father, uphold thy servants, enlarge their hearts, open their mouths. May the words be with grace, we pray, as it were seasoned with that spiritual salt. And may it be a word, Father, of salvation to some and a building up to others. So hear us now, and we commend this time now into thy hands, in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, I'd like to take as my text this morning the 11th to the 17th verses of Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verses 11 to 17, where we read about this lady who had, it's called here, a spirit of infirmity. And we read about her as follows. Just bear with me and we'll just look at, I'll just read this text to you. It's Luke here writing to this man Theophilus. And he writes them as follows at this point in his gospel. He says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days." He didn't have the courage to criticize the Lord directly, does it indirectly through the people. "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Different reactions and responses to this miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought upon this woman. Well, dear friends, this morning, then for the rest of our time here this morning, I want us to look together at this passage and portion of scripture that runs from verse 11 of Luke chapter 13 to the end of verse 17, where this evangelist, gospel writer, inspired as he was by the Holy Spirit, is writing here to this man Theophilus. Don't know a great deal about this man, whether he was a believer or an unbeliever, but Luke writes his gospel and the book of the Acts of the Apostles to him. And at this point in his gospel, he's writing to him about a lady, about a woman, who is also described in this passage by the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit later on as a daughter of Abraham. So the Lord Jesus Christ not only worked in the lives of men and wrought miracles in the lives of men, but also in the lives of ladies and women, and also, we know, young women, girls included. We read, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And then a little later on in verse 16, he says, and ought not this woman, speaking to the ruler of the synagogue, who took umbrage at Christ doing this this miracle on the Sabbath day, thinking he was working, it was not a work of labour, it was a work of mercy upon this woman, so it was legitimate, of course it was, because Christ did it. Christ answers him, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound over these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So this passage, although it mentions other people here, is chiefly about a lady here and a daughter of Abraham. Sometimes the Greek word that is used here is translated as woman, is sometimes used for wife, for a wife. We don't know about this lady. It could be that she was a married woman, that she was somebody's wife, she had a husband, or it could be that she was just an unmarried woman, perhaps she had never been married and would never get married. We're not really sure. But that is her gender, that is her sex. The Lord Jesus Christ worked not only in the lives of men, but also in the lives of women too. Not only in the old, but also in the young too. He was indiscriminate and impartial in his working. He was sovereign in his working, wasn't he? In his miracles and also in salvation. We're also told that she was a daughter of Abraham. She was one of his descendants. She was part of his posterity. It is possible that she was not only a descendant in a natural sense, that she also a descendant in a spiritual sense. She could have been a believer and yet be suffering in this way. I don't know. But she's a daughter of Abraham. Certainly, in terms of natural descent, she was a Jew. She was an Israelite. But again, our Lord doesn't just work in the lives of Jews. He also works in the lives of non-Jews, in the lives of Gentiles. This is who this passage is all about. A woman, a daughter of Abraham, perhaps a believer, but if not, perhaps she became a believer at this time of this miracle. Whatever, she was certainly one of the children of Israel. And Christ uses that as a further argument why this miracle should be wrought in her life. And my dear friends, she wasn't alone, was she? Because our Lord Jesus Christ worked wonderful miracles, miracles of healing, miracles of exorcism, miracles, the miracle of salvation itself in the lives of other women. We read back in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, these were those who were following the Lord Jesus Christ and ministering to him of their substance. One called Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and there were other cases too. Certain women healed of evil spirits and infirmities, like this woman was. She had an evil spirit that led to her being physically weak and infirm. And then later on in that same chapter, in verses 43 and then 47, the woman who had an issue of blood, you remember her, and she had it. This lady had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. There was a man who had, who wasn't able to walk for 48 years, wasn't it? But this woman here had an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. And when the woman saw that she wasn't hid after she'd been healed, she came trembling and falling down before Christ. She declared to him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed, like this lady here, immediately. So this lady is not an isolated case. The Lord Jesus Christ also worked mightily and miraculously in the lives of other women at that time. Certainly he worked this miracle immediately and powerfully in the life of this woman here, as we have it described by Luke. What I'm wondering this morning, my dear friend, is this. If you are not like this woman, in a sense like her spiritually, I'm not saying that you'll be somebody who's kind of possessed with a spirit of infirmity or anything like that, or perhaps that you are physically weak and you can't lift up yourself physically and so on and need to be straightened out physically. I'm not saying that. But I wonder whether you are like her spiritually. Because when you look at the description of this lady, it can be applied to those who are not Christians, to those who are unbelievers, not yet converted. Are you like her spiritually? Are you, even though you are not a Jew, even though you may probably be a Gentile here this morning, a non-Jew, are you like this daughter of Abraham spiritually? Well, I hope to explain what I mean by that as we go through the case of this lady and we look at the description of her, what she was like, and then what happened to her. I think there are two main things here in that respect, two sides to this story. We have, first of all, a description in verses 11 and 12, chiefly, and other verses too in the passage, of her bodily or physical infirmity. Her bodily, physical infirmity in verses 11 and 12. But then in verses 12, 15 and 16, we have the description of her being freed from this, her being unloosed from it, her being emancipated from her desperate condition, a desperate bodily or physical condition. And it's these two things, these two sides of the story, or these two sides of her experience that I want us to look at this morning. So first of all, notice that both in verses 11 and 12, there's a description here of this lady's bodily or physical infirmity. We're told that she had sometime in her life, we're not told when. Well, actually, we are told when, aren't we? We're told a number of years before this. It was about 18 years before this event that a spirit, an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, this is referring to, a demon or a devil, that the devil or Satan was behind, entered into this woman. And it would seem that in the hierarchy of evil spirits, there are different evil spirits that are able to do different things, or are permitted to do different things according to the divine permission of God. He allowed Satan to do this to this woman. He allowed this spirit, this devil, this demon to do this thing for this to this woman for a number of years. But he was going to overrule it for his glory, and also it would be for her spiritual good and for others who would witness it and also hear about it and read about it in the future. So 18 years before this, an evil, unclean spirit, a demon or a devil, entered into this woman, and it was a spirit of infirmity. It led to her being without physical strength. Not entirely without physical strength, but largely without it. She became infirm in her physical disposition. She became physically weak. She became physically impotent or unable even to kind of lift up herself. And she'd been like this. That woman with an issue of blood, she'd like it for 12 years. We say what a terrible case that she was in. But this woman had been like this for 18 years. And so this spirit had a real grip upon her, and there was nothing that she could do about it, nothing she could do about this spirit. And we're told about infirmities elsewhere. First of all, Luke chapter 5, verse 15, a few chapters before this. We're told there's so much the more they went out of fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him. Of what? Of their infirmities, of their weaknesses. You know, those who had various things wrong with them, that would have meant there. Not necessarily that they were all demon-possessed and had a spirit of infirmity, but they had various physical maladies, physical things wrong with them that Christ healed. But some of them may have had a kind of demon that led to physical weakness, and Christ healed them. And then remember in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, certain women who had been healed of, we had this a little bit before, healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And this woman was going to be one of them. Mary Magdalene, out of who went seven devils. And then John 5 and verse 5, a certain man was there at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And he had an infirmity for 38 years. And we know that he was so physically weak, he wasn't able to get up and to go down to the pool of Bethesda when supposedly an angel stirred it in order that he might be healed. So this was that man's case. So the women's case, they were infirm. And it was this woman's case. She was a sad case. She was, humanly speaking, a hopeless and helpless case. She had this spirit of infirmity, strengthlessness, weakness. She couldn't even, as we're going to see, lift up herself. And it is the case, my dear friends, of us. Before we become Christians, there is about us a spiritual infirmity, a spiritual weakness, a spiritual inability to do what? Well, to keep God's holy law. We are weak through the flesh on account of our sin. What did Christ do? Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he did it when we were yet without strength to save ourselves, to keep God's law, to make any atonement for our sin. So the case of this woman physically is our case spiritually before we are converted. So the case with you this morning, my dear friend, are you spiritually infirm, strengthless, unable to save yourself, unable to make up for your sin, to pay for your sin? Are you unable to keep God's law? You're just not strong enough to do it. You are weak morally, you're weak spiritually, too weak to keep God's holy law. You are. You've been born like that. There's a spiritual weakness about you, a tendency to sin, an inclination to sin, and you've had it all the way through your life, even to today. You are spiritually infirm. You're not able to save yourself, and you're a sinner. You've broken God's law. And we see the effect that this spirit had upon this woman, upon her life. We see the effect of it outwardly, and then also we see the reason for it spiritually, or behind the scenes, in the description that Luke gives. First of all, he describes the effect of it outwardly. He says here that she was bowed together because of this. Because she was demonically possessed with a spirit of infirmity, she was bowed together. What a terrible state she was in. Wherever she went, she was bowed together, or she was bent in her body. We would probably say something like this. We'd describe it. She was bent double. She was bent down. She was bent over. And she was so weak she couldn't lift up herself. There was something wrong with her. Perhaps there was something was permitted to happen to her spine. Or there was just this general core weakness in her body. Or there was she had some kind of illness or some kind of disease. And she just was not able to lift up herself. She was bent double. And you think about what that must be like, my dear friends. Those of you who perhaps sometimes have a little bit of a bad back, you get a twinge, or then perhaps you have perhaps some serious back trouble, and for a while you're bent over. And how debilitating it is. It makes you feel weak and helpless. You can't do anything sometimes. I've seen people like that. They just can't do anything. They're kind of hobbling around. One minute they were fine, they were upright, and they're walking around. The next minute, they got a stick and they're hopping around, they can't do anything. But this woman, so that she was bent double. Her head and nose were near to the ground. And she was moving around miserable like this for all these years, for 18 years, not able to look up in this way. Truly humbled, perhaps. This had to happen so that she might be spiritually humbled, so she might become a true believer in God and in his Christ. She was bound together in this way. The only other reference I can find to this description in the New Testament is in Romans 11 verse 10. Paul there describing the reprobate, having described those who are the elect. He describes the reprobate. He says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. That is, forcibly bow down. And this woman physically was bowed down, he's been like it a very long time, and not able to do anything about it. How cruel Satan is. How cruel he is. In having permission to do this, he's right-handed. Just like with Job. When God does give him permission, as I say, to his own glory and his wise and holy ends, to afflict Job, Satan is there. Satan is stripping him of everything. He wasn't able to take his life, but he took everything else away from him, including his health. It's the same with this woman. Satan is like that. Don't expect any love and kindness and patience and long-suffering and mercy from him. If he's given an inch, he'll take a mile, and he'll render people like this. Oh, my dear friends, turn to God this morning. Escape out of his hands. Don't share in his eternal doom and destruction. So she was bound together. My dear friend, this morning, when you examine yourself, as you should do, every time you hear the word of God, every time you come to the house, every time you open the scriptures, you examine yourself. Do you see yourself spiritually bound together? Spiritually bent, spiritually crooked, spiritually perverted. When God holds up to you the mirror of his word, and when he holds against you the plumb line of his holy law, you see how crooked you are. And praise God, Christ came to make the crooked straight. He could straighten this woman physically. He can straighten you out both morally and spiritually. But you must realize your condition before you receive the cure from God and from his Son. Is this your sad case this morning? You are bowed together. You are in the dust. God is humbling you in this way. So she was bowed together and she was not at all able to lift up herself. Luke says, in no wise. You can understand this is coming from, this is only in Luke's gospel. And Luke was a doctor, Luke was a physician. And so he interests himself in this lady's situation, in her condition, being a doctor. And he knows that she wasn't able at all, in no wise, by no means, was she able to lift up herself. In this way, he's really glorifying God, isn't he? Glorifying this work and the miracle, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he sees just how this spirit, how Satan had rendered her absolutely helpless and hopeless, humanly speaking. She couldn't lift up herself, her body, or her head. She couldn't look up. She couldn't look up to see the sun and to look in people's faces. She couldn't raise herself. She couldn't stand upright. These things that, my dear friends, very often we take for granted. She couldn't do. She couldn't stretch out her foot very easily. She couldn't stretch out her hand. She was contracted in this way. She was crippled. She was in a terrible state indeed. She couldn't look up. She couldn't look upwards. We read in John's Gospel in chapter 8 and verses 7 to 10, the opposite of this, what Christ does on this occasion. Remember in the healing of the woman taken in adultery, we read of Christ there. When the Pharisees and scribes continued asking him, he lifted up himself. He had been looking down and had been writing upon the ground with his finger. But at this point, he is able to lift himself up. What this lady was not able to do. And said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then verse 10, the same thing when Jesus, once again, had lifted up himself. He had the physical strength to do that. Saw none but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? What our Lord was able to do. What so many other people were able to do. What you can do this morning. Because you're here and you haven't got a bad back and have to stay at home. Do you take it for granted? You can lift up yourself. But she wasn't able to do it. She was bowed down and she didn't have the strength to get up again. And my dear friend, this is what we're like as people who are not converted. People not born again. We don't have strength. We're not able to lift up ourselves. We're not able to straighten ourselves out. We're not able to save ourselves and to earn our salvation. We need God to do something. We need God to intervene in our lives. We need Him to send His Spirit. We need Him to apply salvation to us, that He might save us and forgive us our sins, justify us, and also to sanctify us. You're not able to help yourself, to lift up yourself from all your sin, from the spiritual mire in which you're in. You can't do it. Well, you can't, but God can. And our extremity is very often God's opportunity. So Luke here describes the outward effect upon this woman of having this spirit of infirmity, and then he explains it, and he explains why we are as we are, my dear friends, spiritually. She had been bound by this bond, like a chain, a band, a fetter. She had been held captive, imprisoned by this infirmity that she had, and by Satan himself, by the devil. And the only other places I found this word about being bound is Satan himself being bound, the strong man arm being bound. And in Revelation 20 verse 2, he's being bound there. One day Satan is being bound today as people are converted. One day he will be bound. But those who are not saved today are bound by the bond of their iniquity and sin. And it's strong, my dear friend. You try to wriggle yourself free from him. You try to break yourself free from his kingdom. You try to get rid of your sinful bad habits, the sin which do so easily beset you. You try and break free, my dear friends, and then you'll see just how mighty he is and how strong sin is and how well guarded are his people and how strong are the bastions of his kingdom. She was bound in this way by him. And by nature, my dear friends, Satan has spiritually bound us with the spiritual bond of our iniquity and sin since the fall and since the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Listen to this commentator at this point then. He says, this woman was an emblem of a poor sinner. So I'm not just making it up. You can apply this woman's case in this way, to sin and to salvation. But she was an emblem of a poor sinner, held in the bonds of iniquity by Satan, and led captive by him at his will, who can by no means raise himself, nor is he able to lift up his head to heaven, because he's covered with shame and covered with guilt, or look upwards to Christ for deliverance, and yet attends upon the outward ministry. That's a lovely thing, actually. That commentator brings it out. Then, though she was in such a terrible state and case, she got along to church on the Sabbath day. And how that puts so many to shame. And sometimes, my dear friends, it puts us to shame when we give such poor reasons why we can't go to the house of God. My dear friend, I can assure you, if you have a great need as a believer, or if you have a great need, if you're an unbeliever, and God makes you to see it, your danger and peril, you will wend your way to the house of God. You will be at the means of grace. You will be seeking to put yourself in the way of God and of his word and of the work of his Spirit and his grace. You won't be giving up foolish and ridiculous excuses why you can't attend the means of grace. You will be there when you have need. You mustn't just attend when we have need. We always have needs, but let's seek to be faithful always to the means of grace. This lady had this spirit of infirmity. That's only one side of the story. The other side of the story is this, that she was loosed from it. She was emancipated from this. Verses 12, 15 and 16. Christ tells her, Christ says that she's going to be loosed from him. And later he's able to say to the ruler of the synagogue, that she was loosed spiritually, physically from this. She was freed from this spirit. She was released. She was set free. She was unbound from him. Such was the power of Christ. Such was the power of his touch. Such was the power of his word. Such the power of his spirit. When he said this, her bonds were burst asunder. She was dispossessed of the evil spirit and delivered from her long affliction. And all this, as I say, happened on the Sabbath day. It happened in one of the synagogues, either in Galilee or in Judea. And it was Christ who did this. Verses 12 and 13. When Christ saw her, like so many, had compassion on her. All this suffering over so many years. And said to her, this is all that it took. He addressed himself directly to her, personally to her, and powerfully. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The power of his word. Oh, my dear friend, the power of his word to create, the power of his word to uphold, the power of his word to deliver from illness, from disease, from demonic possession, from sin even, and from death. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She was loosed. Just like the man who was deaf and dumb, Mark 7 verse 35. Straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. Before it had been held, he wasn't able to speak properly or at all. But God set his tongue free. No doubt he couldn't stop talking after that, and he spake plain. And Luke 13 and verse 15, in this passage, notice our Lord's illustration that he gives to the ruler of the synagogue. He answers him and says, you hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? A lovely picture that is. There's the ass or the ox tethered and tied in the stable. They come along, loose them and set them free. And Christ saying, that is what I've just done to this woman. And there's nothing wrong with doing it on the Sabbath day because it is a work of mercy. You shouldn't be criticizing. You should be rejoicing and praising and glorifying God like her for her being loosed. And this, my dear friends, is a wonderful experience when this happens to us. When God, having accomplished redemption through his Son, when he's provided a righteousness for us and died on the cross for us, he himself becoming bound, they bound his hands. They nailed him to the tree. God laid upon his own Son our sin, who's punished in our place. But then what happens? The Spirit comes and applies this work to us. And we are spiritually set free. We are emancipated. We're given spiritual liberty to become the children, the sons of God. He sets us free. He sets us loose from the chains of our captivity. Like Wesley's hymn, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Spiritual freedom. Spiritual liberty. Do you have it? Have you been loosed? That lovely story of Lazarus, who died. Christ brings him back to life. And they open up the sepulchre where he was. And he's not stinking. He's coming forth. Christ calls him forth. He comes forth. He's in all those bandages. And Christ commands him, loose him. And set him free. And they do. And this is what God does spiritually for us. He looses us from our sins. Christ has done it all. He's paid. And when we believe, these things are broken. The chains of our captivity are broken. We're loosed, we're set free. What a lovely feeling that is. What a lovely experience that is. To be set free from our guilt and from our sin. And from being in Satan's kingdom. Being in bondage to him, bound to him. You think about being bound to the devil all your life. Dying and being bound to him forever in hell. But the glory, my dear friend, of being set free from that. Set free from him. And this woman perhaps was not only set free in this way, but also spiritually too. And that's why she glorifies God. She had been loosed both in both senses, in both ways. Have you been loosed? You know, if you are, she knew that she was, because she was made straight. She, for the first time for many years, she was able, she had the strength, she had the physical might and power to lift up herself, to be righted again, to be upright, to be erect, to stand upright and erect. And to kind of lift up herself. And how happy she must have been in that experience. To be able to look people in the eye, look up at the sky, look up at the sun, to look at the Lord Jesus Christ who had wrought this great miracle upon her. And you'll know, my dear friend, if you've been truly converted, spiritually set free, because God will set you spiritually straight. He will justify you. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll forgive you of all your sins, and he'll give you the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be made right in the sight of God. But then also, my dear friends, he will give to you, as the Spirit of God works within you, he will give to you a holy life. You'll walk uprightly, spiritually erect before God. You want to please him and walk in his laws. Has God straightened your life out? It happens when we're converted. I can remember what it was like before I was converted. Everything was a mess. Everything was chaotic. Everything was crooked in my own personal life. But when I became Christian, things became clear. God began to straighten things out. He straightened out my relationship with him. He straightened out my relationship with others too. Things got better. Not easy being a Christian, but things, generally speaking, get better and better until we reach glory. As he straightened you out, my dear friend, are you no longer crooked, but straight right in the sight of God through faith in Christ and walking with him? She'd been healed. Have you been spiritually healed? Well, the final thing about this lady here is this before we finish. Those are the two sides of the story. She was infirm. Christ frees her. And the final evidence that she'd been freed was this, my dear friends. That the people rejoiced. Well, the synagogue was full of indignation. And others were ashamed because of the way which they treated Christ and had spoken about Christ. But she, now and in the future, glorified, extolled, honoured, magnified and praised and thanked God what he'd done in her life. Is that what you're doing, my dear friends? We started with that first in verse 13 of this chapter. She glorified God. And a sure sign that you become a Christian is that you begin to glorify him and praise him and to seek his glory in your life. In everything that you do, everything you say, and everything you do, you seek to do it to the glory of God. Commentator says, what God does is he puts a new song in our mouths, even praise to him, to whose free grace and favour we readily ascribe our deliverance. Are you going on your way this morning, glorifying him? Because this work that Christ did upon this woman is nothing to be compared with the work that is wrought in your soul. She was delivered of an evil spirit. My dear friend, you've been delivered from sin, Satan's power. You're his children. You're going to heaven. Who like thee his praise should sing this morning?